Welcome to week five and the season finale of the Annabelle set. And we are finishing with a bang because it's incredible racing over the next couple of weeks. And your stable has a lot of really strong chances across those couple of weekends. There's a lot to talk about. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So why don't we get straight into it with the week that was. So the first talking point is the Craven Plate. So you had Faulkner Park, one of your headline horses, making a bit of a comeback. Obviously, things didn't go so well down in Melbourne. Here he is out wide in the orange and black cap. And, of course, Spirit Ridge out in front for you guys as well and nearly stole the race, as you said earlier on. What did you make of the race overall?
Yeah, I thought here maybe Faulkner Park might have had it in the bag, but it was a slowly run race. Karen rated his own horse really well in front, Spirit Ridge. And you know, for a 10-year-old, he's such a lovable horse. He very rarely runs a bad race. But obviously Faulkner Park, he was a different scenario. He was back in the field, so slowly run race was probably going to make it a bit tougher for him. And I think he ran 21.9 from the 600 to the 200. Mm. And maybe that sort of 5 weeks between runs then told.
Yeah, it just looked like he just peaked on his run. Tiny bit, didn't he?
So I was happy with the run. Tyler was happy with the run. You're always disappointed when you got one short in the market not to win. And we had four in the race, so... You know, I thought one of them might lob, but they all four of them ran really well. So
yeah, and so Naval College and New Marion as well, they ran on a little bit as well. But what I notice is the only horse that's backing up anytime soon is Faulkner Park. He's accepted for the Gold Cup on Saturday.
Yeah, the others they were first up, so I'd never back a horse up off a first up run. But Faulkner Park, I suppose, will be third up, but actually been in work a lot longer than the others because he was meant to have been third up in the Caulfield Cup. So
sure. You
know, from a fitness point of view, he's been in for quite a while. But he's just found wanting that last little bit. And we thought we'll put him in and see how he is this week. And he's really pleased us. It's a $750,000 race.
Yep.
He's obviously not as well treated at a handicap.
60 kilos he's got.
He's got 60, and I was a bit gutted to see the draw. I think it's 9 of 11. I think it's 9 of 11. It's out wide anyway, in a race that looks devoid of pace.
Yes.
So you just worry a bit. The shape of the race might be a bit like, you know, like what he had on Saturday. But horse is going well. Backup would be a bit of an unknown, but it's really the only race left for him. Mm-hmm. So as long as we're happy with him, it's great prize money, then he'll go around and he'll be very competitive.
And then you probably put him out and bring him back for autumn and see where we go there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think the one
aim
we'll
high level, and just take it slowly.
We'll avoid Melbourne with him.
Yeah.
But we'll, you know, last year he had a pretty long campaign through the autumn and then up to the Brisbane winter. So we'll look to do the same things. But obviously last year we started in the Albury and the Wagga Cups, but he'd carry the grandstand this year. So hopefully we can run him in some of the feature races in, you know, whether it's the Ranvet or races like that, some of the feature races during the carnival in Sydney, and then head up towards the Doomben Cup and Q22 again.
And would you say you won't go back to Melbourne again for the spring? Is that ruled out forever?
At this stage, asking me today, yeah, he'll never go back down there.
Okay, cool. Well, let's move on to what is arguably the highlight of the weekend. So the Group 1 Spring Champion Stakes for the 3-year-olds. Firm Agreement ran third, so he's now Group 1 place. He's done a fantastic job for you guys this campaign. There he is out the back in the red, pushing his way through now. What did you make of it?
Great run. He ran really fast splits, the fastest last 600. I suppose that's pretty obvious to the eye there. He was another probably victim of the gate. We obviously were a bit further forward in the gloaming. He'd missed the kick the start before at Newcastle, so I was in two minds how to ride him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just thought he was maybe a touch... have a query at the 2000. So we actually thought, let's go negative from the gate, ride him back and ride him to hit the line, knowing there might not be enough tempo. But I was just worried. And actually, I don't think he jumped well enough to go forward as it transpired. But you always wonder if you tried, you know, the two first two home were up near the pace. But great effort. Horse having its fourth start.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, Group 1 placed. With lots to look forward to in the autumn.
And you decided not to go to the Derby? Were you ever seriously considering going to the Derby this weekend, the VSC Derby?
No, I mean, to be honest, a couple of starts ago, I'd never even considered the spring champion with him because he doesn't give anything away at home. He's a relatively plain track worker. So if you'd said to me a month ago, this horse would be Group 1 placed in a month, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure, backing him up on his first prep to another state to 2,500. Mm. Wasn't sure that was the right prep run to go to the 2,500 either. It wasn't they really backed the tempo off. It wasn't a really solidly ran race, and I just didn't think it was the right sort of race to set him up for it. And maybe if it was 2 weeks between runs, we'd have considered it, but sure. I just didn't want to do the backup.
And in autumn, aim for those 3-year-old classic races like a Derby or
I think so. I mean, he's actually he's a gelding, so there's no stallion tag to go. But more than happy to win a Group 1 with a gelding. You're obviously going to come up against a lot of the good colts, but I think off that run on Saturday, there's so much more improvement to come from him than. We'd be mad not to be thinking that way.
So you'll train him as a stayer in the autumn?
Yeah, I would imagine Randwick and Rosehill Guineas will be the two sort of target races.
Yeah, very good. All right, some interesting news during the week. It was announced that you guys are going to open up a Scone stable. It's not as if you don't already have enough stables, but you're going to open one up at Scone. I believe it's 30 boxes you're going to have there?
Yeah, that was a little bit slow to the news. Someone did an article on it. We've actually been up there for probably 4 to 6 weeks now, or 6 weeks, I'd say. So we had 30 boxes at Rose Hill, and we decided to relinquish those and took up these boxes instead. We've got our Spelling Farm's up near there.
Yeah, it's Rob's hometown, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And, just a nice environment for maybe more highly strung fillies that want a slightly quieter environment, gives owners a different option maybe if their horse isn't quite ready to be running in races in town, more accessible to those easier races up that way. And I suppose we can charge a bit less as well, which is when they're up there, which is probably a bit more attractive to the owners. But it just fits in with us. Mm. We enjoy spending time up there. Mm. Rob's family are up there, and as I said, all the Spellers are up there as well. So it just seemed a logical fit, and they are upgrading the facilities. There's going to be a poly track put in there and new boxes. So not sure we'll get any bigger up there necessarily, but it's just a good place to be. It's a massive track. I think it's one of the best sort of country tracks there is. And obviously the Hunter Valley's the what do they call Scone? The horse capital of Australia.
Yeah, so huge in breeding, isn't it? I mean, you'd spend a lot of time up there inspecting yearlings and all that kind of stuff. It's a huge part of your job, isn't it, being in that area?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and during the week when I was speaking to your digital team, they were saying that you guys are flat out with the TATS sales. So can you just tell us a little bit? I don't know huge about the TATS sales myself, but can you tell us a little bit about them, why they're so important to Australian owners and trainers? Obviously, they're over in the UK.
Well, I think we were underbidder on that horse. That horse has gone to Kieran, I think, on the screen. Go, Daddy.
Yeah, yeah. 350,000 guineas or something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And there's Billy and Will. Great sale it's been a great sale for me. We picked up Zaki there, and we picked up Faulkner Park there, amongst, many other of the nice horses that we've got in the stable. So for me, when I look around, you look around at the Melbourne Cup, you look around at the Rosehill Gold Cup, the Craven Plate, for example, unfortunately, there's not many Australian bred horses in those races. It's because most of our horses are bred for speed here. But there's so much prize money on offer in these races that to have horses in these races, you've got to go overseas and buy them.
Yeah.
We don't have to. Obviously, there are some Australian bred horses, but it's tough.
Yeah.
You look at the suffix, at the end of each horse's name in those races, and nearly all of the fields are horses from either New Zealand or Europe. So
was Duke de Sessa bought from this sale,
was
it?
I'm not sure if he's from the sale, but he's from Europe. Might have been from Ireland, I'm not sure, but certainly from over there.
Yeah.
For us, we love the yearling sales, we love the Australian horses, and we'll continue to be trying to buy those at the yearling sales and the breeze ups. But for me, obviously, I'm from England. I've got a real, passion for those style of horses and that style of racing. If you can't beat them, you've got to join them. And if we're not there buying them, and we're letting the likes of Chris and Kieran and Gay Tom Charlton, you know, they're all there buying these horses. So we've got to do the same so that we're in these races.
And I just saw some news. Gaze went to 2.8 million for Delius. Did you know much about what Delius? I don't know much
about Delius. I loved him in the catalogue. He looked the obvious horse that was probably going to top the sale. He was, ran in the arc and just a really well-performed horse by Frankel and looked a big, imposing, scopey horse. So I thought I was probably window shopping looking at him, and I was. Sort of don't have that sort of order. You know, you can go and spec them, but Gay's probably got a bunch of owners. I think Red Sorrow and Glenn's going into the horse. So good on them for, you know, it's not easy to get, you know, a partnership together to buy a horse of that sort of value. And full credit to them for being able to do it, because it looks like they've got themselves a really exciting horse.
Because it's different. We don't have really have a sale like this, do we? Like, horses that were on the way up here wouldn't be sold at a sale. They'd go on and try and win the Melbourne Cup or all these big races. But it seems like over there, what they're trying to do is get to the point where someone from Australia wants to go and buy them, or like the Japanese big over there. Do they buy at this sale as well? Is it mostly just the Aussies?
The Japanese, I don't think, buy there, but a lot of horses will go to Dubai. And a lot go to Australia, Saudi. But I think, you know, their prize money, unfortunately, is, you know, so poor over there that they almost have to sell them.
Yeah.
We don't need to sell our horses because they're racing for so much prize money and they can pay for themselves, you know, fairly quickly if their form converts. But it's hard, you know, these owners, they're getting offered that sort of money and they weigh up whether they can win that in prize money. Usually the answer is probably no. So you do feel a little bit for the trainers there, particularly the young trainers trying to get a go and trying to get that headline horse. You know, maybe if they're a filly, they're a bit safer. But when they're a gelding or a colt, then you're always going to have Australia or Hong Kong knocking on the door, particularly for those middle distance staying types.
Very good. All right, so we're going to get into the feature races, and there's a lot of them, which is good. And the Annabelle set, the official Annabelle set, is actually intertwined within these feature races. So once we're through these, there won't be any Annabelle set, because you'll give them to us as we go through. So why don't we talk about the biggest race on Saturday, the Coolmore Stud Stakes, incredibly hard race to win. And you have got Yoshinobu in there. And we've got Yoshinobu at Trackwork Tuesday morning, I presume, at Trackwork. He's on the outside, is he?
Yeah, closest to the camera, just having an easy gallop. Jamie Mott on him. That was on Tuesday at Pakenham. He'd had a jump out at Flemington on Friday.
He won, didn't he?
Which he won with, we're not typically out there to win trials. We're just there to give him a look down the straight. But
it was a pretty hot field. Traffic Warden was in there, wasn't
Traffic
it?
Warden, Coleman, Switzerland.
Yeah.
And he was great. So I think, look, he's going to have to keep improving. But I think of all the horses there, he's really one of the lesser exposed horses on the up.
Yes.
So you can't discount him.
And he's drawing one in the straight six in advantage, or is it not as big an advantage when you're coming around a turn?
I don't know. I can't say I've had many runners down the straight. Yeah. So I actually don't. I think it'll depend a little bit how the track is. Hopefully towards the insides where the faster ground is.
And so you're going to make Yoshinobu an official Annabelle set tip, which is great, correct?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to make him an each-way official Annabelle set tip. I thought his run in the Roman Consol was superb. You had Ikusara really licking along, and Yoshi, you know, being an inexperienced horse, he was leading the rest of the field up to him. Switzerland was too good for us that day, and look, maybe he's too good for us again on Saturday, but I really feel like he's improved. He's had that look down the straight, and he's just a really big, imposing horse. He's still a little bit sort of green at home. He's a bit quirky, but when he's out on the track, he seems pretty professional. So hopefully we get that version of him again on Saturday, and I think he'll run better than his odds.
Who are you most scared of outside of him?
I mean, Growing Empire, probably, but he's had a couple of grand finals. So
yeah.
I thought Traffic Warden looked really well when I saw him. He obviously didn't run in the Everest. So he's sort of a bit fresh on the scene. I think he's a real danger. We've seen him, although it was 1400, we've seen him win at Flemington. I think Switzerland, I saw him actually, I followed him out with Yoshinobu to the track. He's not an overly big colt. He sort of looks quite unassuming. It's very straightforward, but he's obviously got a massive engine. So
yeah.
I think probably those two.
Okay, very good. Let's move on. We're going to go to the Empire Rose, where AJ, it's her grand final, Amelia's draw. We don't have any footage of her, so we'll just talk about it straight up. She's drawn nicely, second favourite, Jamie on board. Everything sets up. Is Saturday going to be her day?
Yeah, you don't have any footage because she went too quick for the camera.
Oh!
I put the blinkers on her and wow, like she completely set her alight. So wow. I'll either be an idiot or a genius, one or the other. I think it'll go one way or the other. She really worked extremely well with them on. I know talking to Simon Miller, he put them on in the Goodwood, but he'd been itching to put them on a long time before then. So I actually messaged him the other day. I said, I'm thinking of it. He said, be brave. So they go on, nice soft draw, Jamie Carr. And that's the nice thing. If there's any chance of her overdoing it in shades, then Jamie's probably got the best hands in the business. But I can't see that she will. Like when you look at her replays, this certainly her last two runs, she's looked like she wants some headgear. She's just hitting that flat spot sort of the top of the straight, and then she comes out of it and her last 150 is really good. So I'm sort of, I want to say quietly confident, but I'm not when I'm on camera. I suppose I'm giving her a push that's not really been quiet, is it? But I think she's going to run really well.
Yeah, great. And so she's in another official Annabelle set tip. All right, excellent. We've got a lot of momentum. Let's keep rolling. We're going to go to the Damien Oliver, where Mighty Ulysses, the last start winner. Here he is closest to camera again on the outside doing some work at Pakenham. Talk to us about him. It's a pretty hot race. You got the two mare horses, Jimmy Starr and another Will in the field. But how are we looking with him?
Yeah, it is a hot race, but it's probably not as hot as his other option that I'm thinking of, which was the Champions Mile.
Yeah.
I've always thought, and he's yet to prove it, but I've always thought this could be a proper Group 1 horse.
Mm-hmm.
But there's he's just been now. Difficult.
Drawn well again. Three, drawn happy well. With that? Yeah.
Happy. The only thing I would say, I didn't put him on my set when he won, which was silly, but wasn't sure what I'd been tossing and turning whether to take the earmuffs off him or not because he raced in them last campaign and I took them off and just was a bit scared he'd overdo it. But there was so much, with Buffalo River, there was so much tempo in the race.
Yeah.
And it actually worked out beautifully because he relaxed. Well, I wouldn't say relaxed, but he didn't over race as a result because they just went quick from the onset. But he was fantastic late. So he did get his toe in the ground that day. It was a bit of juice in the track. I think it started on a soft that day. So that's my only slight query with him. I think he does enjoy a little bit of cut.
Yep.
So I'm hoping they're putting a little bit of water on at Flemington. But Jamie seems to get on well with him. And he's actually beaten Jimmy Starr before. So, the top two in the market look tough to beat, but I really think he's got a lot of class, Mighty Ulysses, and I think he can win.
Okay, and it's another official Annabelle set tip. All right, where to next? We're going to go to Rose Hill and the start with the Golden Eagle, the $10 million race, where we've got a couple of charges. Let's bring it up. There it is. So, of course, we've got Astraka. You can see that picket fence there. And then way down the bottom, Port Lockroy. I actually had to whack him in because he was off the screen. Tell us about how you're feeling about this race. Obviously, it's a hot race, one of the hottest races of the year. That's what happens when you got $10 million in prize money.
Yeah, I think they said that the bizarre barrier draw last night. They said
true to form.
They said that there were 8 individual Group 1 winners in the field and there's 4 internationals. So it's probably the best Golden Eagle field they've assembled. And, I would have liked to have drawn a touch softer with Ostraka, but could have been worse, could have been 20. He's going there off the back of 4 wins. I think Lazat's probably the only other horse going there in similar winning form. The 1500 may be a query, but he won over 14 there, albeit in a benchmark race, but he has won over 1400 around there and won readily. So I think he should be fine. He's rock hard fit. And he makes his own luck. You can sort of ride him anywhere in the field. So,
but what are you going to do from the tricky barrier? Because would you want Lean to be more on pace, or are you going to get back, or you just leave it to Chad to decide they jump?
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah,
I haven't really had a chance to properly look at it, but it's one of those scenarios. Probably he's always a horse I like to just leave it a little bit to the jockey because he can begin very well, but if he doesn't, there's lots of speed. You can take a sit either. So I think it all just begins That depends on how he begins.
And Port Lockroy, he's just a knockout chance. Just, you know, never know, riding for luck and hope that he come home hard.
Yeah, I just thought he was zero chance of getting in. So I was actually sort of quite looking forward to running him in a benchmark 90 over 1400 with Mark Zara on board on Cup Day at Flemington. Yeah. But when racing, they called up. They sort of did a ring around, you know, when they're not going to get a full field, when they're starting to do a ring around. And I couldn't believe, because he was 48th in order.
Yeah.
And they run 20. So amazed that he got a run. But for $10 million, you're going to roll the dice. Sure. You can't not.
Yeah.
Sean, 9 of 20. Adam knows him well, rode him all of last campaign. And he ran very similar splits, last 400, 200, very similar splits to Sunshine and Jolly Start on Everest Day.
Yeah.
And was closing well. Will appreciate being up in distance. And he's got to find, obviously, a few more lengths to be winning this, but he'll be charging home late.
Where are you going to be, Rose Hill or Flemington on Saturday? Don't
Flemington.
Even know yet.
I think
I
Flemington.
I love how you had to think about it.
I think I'm traditional. I think I.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually going to be there ourselves. We're going to be in the general public in our shorts and t-shirt. So maybe we'll try and come and wave to you.
I think Rob and I just actually have to play rock, paper, scissors to see who goes where.
Yeah.
We've got good chances it's great for racing, I suppose, having so many good races, but I want to be in both places at once. Yeah. So
does the travel get
tough.
You? Do you get a bit tired? It's always quite grueling, those, you know, it takes a lot out of you.
It does a bit.
It?
And Pakenham's just that, you know, little bit of an effort to get to. Flemington would be a bit easier if our stables were there, but Pakenham's a great facility, but it just, yeah, that little bit more effort to get there.
Mm. All right, let's move to the Russell Balding. Got a huge hand in this race. And start with, we've got Sunshine in Paris on the inside here doing her final piece of work at Warwick Farm on Tuesday morning. How was this piece of work? Who was she galloping with?
Lady Laguna outside.
Okay, so it's both of them together. Okay, yeah, so Sunshine on the inside, Lady Laguna outside. Okay.
Do a lot of their work. They both work really well. I mean, in particular, Lady Laguna's always a fantastic worker.
Mm-hmm.
She almost looks more impressive than in a gallop than Sunshine, but that's probably because of her slightly more extravagant way of going. But really happy with both of those. Just would have loved to have drawn a touch softer.
Yeah. And you're going to make both of them official Annabelle set tips?
Yeah, I find them sort of hard to split. Obviously, Sunshine's, you know, shorter in the market and she's coming out of an Everest. But Lady Laguna's silly, silly price, even with the draw, because there's a bit of a tail to the field. So I'm making her an each-way bet and I'm making Sunshine and Paris a good winning bet.
Okay, fantastic. And there's obviously the $3 million champion sprint Saturday week down at Flemington. What chance are either of those to get on the freeway down to Melbourne and run in the champion sprint?
Well, for $3 million, I'd say there'd be a chance. Again, you'd probably love them to be 2 weeks apart, but both have only had the two runs this campaign. So, you know, certainly be a consideration.
Yeah, okay.
I'd like to take the $3 million this weekend first.
get $6 million both. Just a couple of races I wouldn't mind talking to you about, because this is our finale. So we won't get to talk to you before next Saturday. We won't get to talk to you before the Melbourne Cup. You're not going to have a run in the Melbourne Cup, but I just...
Are
you going to have, you're going to get one in?
Fancy man.
Okay, brilliant.
It's like number 21 now with the
attrition.
Okay,
with all the things. Oh, that's great to know. Okay, cool. So, and what, how is he going and how are you feeling about his chances?
Look, he's a long shot. But his run in the Caulfield Cup was good. He ran sixth. Ron Stewart was on him and he said he couldn't quite get on the back of the right horse. And he is a horse that needs momentum. He felt he may have finished a couple of places further forward if he'd been on the back of a horse taking him in. But it's probably not the strongest of Melbourne Cups
that we've seen now. A few of them have
fallen by the wayside. Yeah. So look, if it's good prize money down to 10th, you feel a bit defeatist saying we'd be happy to run top 10, but you know we really would. It's field of 24. Couple of good internationals are here, and for us, we actually bought him from the Tats sale. Uh-huh. With this race in mind, it's probably taken us a year longer than we thought to get him there, but just a great race to be a part of, and I know all the owners are really excited to have a runner.
Yeah, and were you at Moonee Valley on Saturday?
No, Friday.
Cox Plate, right? So you weren't there, but you obviously would have seen Via Sestina. Is that the best Cox Plate win you've ever seen?
Oh, extraordinary. Yeah, I mean, breathtaking. I was watching it thinking prognosis was going to was just cantering behind Pride of Jenny, and then I looked a little further back and saw James absolutely airborne on Via Sestina. So that was, yeah, that was incredible. And obviously a massive career peak for her.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think about the decision to not run her in the Cup? What would you have done with her? Obviously, they're not going to run her in the Cup. They're going to run her in the Champions Stakes in about, you know, 10 days or something. For now, what do you think about that decision? What would you have done? Don't sit on the fence.
No, I'm not. Well, I admire Chris Wallace. So I'd just copy him and not go as well. Okay. But the one thing, you know, Chris Wallace, you know, such a great trainer because I think he really thinks about his horses. He doesn't just run them for the sake of it. Mm. Not that you'd run in a cup for the sake of it, but he's very good at getting longevity out of his horses. You know, we saw what he did with Winx, you know, year after year. And he probably knows more than anyone that I think it's hard to get a horse to go to that sort of level, run that type of peak and then do it again.
Sure.
But I don't know. And he's won maybe if he hadn't won a Melbourne Cup before, it would have been more tempting to do so, but he's won a Melbourne Cup and he's probably thinking of trying to have a on song again, you know, for this time next year. But I don't know, 50-50, I suppose. But
do you think Chris would have made that decision? Do you think ultimately Yulong would have left it up to him and he would have been like, let's not run it, let's just, you know, go the safer option, wait for age 2,000 metres?
I'd say it would have been a discussion. You know, Vin Cox is obviously heads up Yulong, and Mr. Zhang would be pretty passionate about the race as well. But Mr. Zhang and Vin would no doubt have taken Chris's lead to some extent because he's with the horse every day. Yeah. I mean, the other thing is Chris has got Buckaroo.
Sure.
Who's a massive chance in the cup. So he's probably hoping to win both.
Yeah.
But she's an incredible horse for Sestina, and would she see out 2 miles? I don't know.
Mm. And have you spoken to J-Mac at all about all the drama that happened the Tuesday morning into the race? Has he had anything to say about it?
I spoke to him that morning, actually. I teased him a bit, but he just said he thought she could win, but he didn't expect it. So, yeah, phenomenal. I think he thought everyone's going to be trying to fall off and do a few loose laps on a Tuesday now.
Yeah.
But yeah, amazing. And he's such an amazing jockey. I mean, and you could see, I don't think I've seen him that emotional after a race.
He wanted it because he needed that 100 win and he hadn't been firing like he normally does. He's getting a bit angry about it all.
And I think
see he just let it all out with that massive, massive win.
And I think to win the Cox Plate for Chris, who's been his biggest supporter as well, I think that had a bit of weight behind it as well.
Yeah, all right, we've got one more race to talk about. To close out the Annabelle set, we're going to talk about the Champions Mile on Champions Day. My Oberon has been so consistent all spring long. He gets his big chance in another big race, the Champions Mile. I've also heard some interesting news that has come through even since we put this together, that they're talking maybe Pride of Jenny might race in this. Had you heard that?
I wouldn't be afraid of her.
Good.
No.
so that was literally before we came on air. I saw a story on .com saying that Pride of Jenny might line up in the Champions Mile.
Really?
They're saying that. Yeah, Kieran was saying that. So, how is my Oberon?
He's great. There was when Via Sestina was galloping around Moonee Valley loose, and there was talk of her not going. I did give a bit of thought. Well, should we back up?
Sure.
See if J-Mac's free. Back up. But no, we've kept him for this race. He really deserves. He's been placed now, I think, in 3 Group Ones. He just really deserves one.
Yeah.
I think he's going really well. Nash is going down to ride him. I just hope that we Mr. Brightside, Pride of Jenny, they're probably better horses than us, but I just hope that they've had their sort of grand final and, maybe we can be on slightly fresher legs and be the fresh horse there. But look, all those horses are very good horses, but... Yeah, Nash seems to get on well with him, so hopefully can be a nice little finish to the Melbourne week.
We'll be there on the day and in the fight. Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun. We hardly knew each other when we started this, but I feel like we're old mates now, and it's been a lot of insight for everyone out there. I know everyone out there has really enjoyed listening to it. You've been incredibly insightful, and I hope you do get a big win over the next couple of weeks. We haven't had that one big winner, you know, over spring. You guys deserve it. Having a bit to do with you, I can see how hard you work. So I hope it comes your way, and... Thank you very much. We think we'll back up again in the autumn, do it again in the autumn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great fun.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much.
I think Rob's still got his chest puffed out after the big weekend he had.
He will finish the better tipper, depending on how you go this
depending
weekend.
How I go.
And you got three throws at the stumps. He's only had two. So.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, it all comes down to this weekend, which is the way we want it. But thank you very much. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you with this show again in the autumn. Good luck on Saturday. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.